coming up next on Lutheran Radio UK.
Love Letters, a Bible study on the epistles with Pastor Arno Bessel of St. Peter's Lutheran Church in Plymouth, Devon.
Welcome to the series of Bible studies on the letter of James. James outlines how the Christian faith manifests itself in practice. He teaches us how to make the best use of the gifts God granted to us. The first five verses of James chapter 3 read as follows. Not many of you should become teachers, my brothers, for you know that we who teach will be judged with greater strictness, for we all stumble in many ways. And if anyone does not stumble in what he says, he is a perfect man, able also to bridle his whole body. If we put bits into the mouths of horses so that they obey us, we guide their whole bodies as well. Look at the ships also. Though they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are guided by a very small rudder, wherever the will of the pilot directs. So also the tongue is a small member, yet it boasts of great things. James makes reference to teachers, that is, persons who function in an official teaching or preaching capacity. In the early church, teachers worked along with the apostles. Apparently, some people arose in the midst of the churches James addressed who wanted to make themselves teachers. This brought with itself the danger of spreading false doctrine. James warns them, saying that teachers will be judged with greater strictness because false teaching can destroy the faith of those being taught and lead them to condemnation. Therefore, God will apply a stricter standard of judgment and a harsher punishment. James reminds us that we all stumble in many ways. Scripture makes it crystal clear that no one is righteous. No, not one. All have turned aside. Together they have become worthless. No one does good, not even one. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Even Christians who have been purchased by Christ, belong to Him and have been forgiven, continue to transgress God's commandments. We sin. Apart from Christ, no one is perfect. We stumble in many ways. James points to the use of the gift of speech with which many sins are committed. Teachers and preachers speak often and with authority. For this reason, they are subject to greater opportunity and temptation to speak wrongly. Beware, says James. The tongue and the capacity to speak are obviously great gifts. We cannot imagine a speechless world. We cannot imagine a multitude gathered together without saying a word. God grants the gift of speech for the benefit of human beings. God Himself spoke. He spoke the universe into existence. He spoke to the prophets in the Old Testament times. God spoke and people heard His voice when Jesus was baptized and transfigured. This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. God spoke through His Son Jesus Christ, the Word who became flesh. Jesus made mute people speak, removing their speech impairment. God gives us the ability to speak so that we can express our thoughts, feelings, concerns, and joys to those around us. By the way, humans are the only creatures gifted with the ability to speak. Sadly, many times we human beings do not use properly our tongue, so much so that God gave a commandment that says, "You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor." James refers to bits put into the mouths of horses to control and direct them. With one minor bit, the whole body of a horse is governed. So also ships, though they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are guided by a very small rudder wherever the will of the pilot directs. James compares the power of a small bit and the power of a little rudder with the power of the tongue that is in reality a small member. Though small, the tongue boasts of great things. By comparing bits put into the mouths of horses and rudders of ships with the tongue, James shows how much power the tongue has to control the whole person and influence everything in his or her life. James goes on speaking about the power of the tongue in chapter 3, verses 5 to 12 of his letter. How great a forest is set ablaze by such a small fire! And the tongue is a fire, a world of unrighteousness. The tongue is set among our members, staining the whole body, setting on fire the entire course of life, and set on fire by hell. For every kind of beast and bird, of reptile and sea creature, can be tamed and has been tamed by mankind. But no human being can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil, full of deadly poison. With it we bless our Lord and Father, and with it we curse people who are made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth come blessing and cursing. My brothers, these things ought not to be so. Does a spring pour forth from the same opening both fresh and salt water? Can a fig tree, my brothers, bear olives, or a grapevine produce figs? Neither can a salt pond yield fresh water. It is well known that a little spark can develop in a huge and disastrous fire. Immense forests and enormous buildings have been completely burned because of a small fire that put them ablaze. Consequently, human lives, animals, vegetation, and valuable properties have been reduced to ashes. James compares the destructive power of fire with the destructive power of the tongue. More than that, James in fact says that the tongue is a fire, a world of unrighteousness. Like fire, sinful words can spread destruction rapidly, or as its accompanying smoke, those words can permeate and ruin everything around it. The tongue's evil results can extend beyond the individual to affect everything in his sphere or influence. Fire, when it spreads, reduces everything it reaches to ashes. As the tongue spreads the poison of sin, it calls upon God's judgment, eternal punishment in hell. James underlines the destructive power of the tongue, saying that every kind of creatures on earth, in the air, and sea can be controlled, but no human being can tame the tongue. Only God, by His power, can do that. The tongue is a restless evil, full of deadly poison. It is profoundly capable of harming others, to destroy their reputation, to cause moral, emotional, and material devastation. James considers the tongue a source of good and evil, of blessing and curse. The tongue can be an instrument with which we praise and thank God for His merciful deeds done to us and His generous gifts granted to us. With the tongue we can bring about blessings to the lives of our neighbors, sharing with them the gospel, praying for them, speaking well of them, and defending their cause when wrongly accused. However, the tongue can also be an instrument of evil and curse, causing harm and destruction to people who are made in the likeness of God. All people deserve respect, particularly with what we say to them and about them, because they are made in the image of God. Using the tongue for blessing and curse is inconsistent. It is hypocrisy. James illustrates this point, asking whether a spring can put forth both fresh and salt water, whether a fig tree can bear olives, or a grapevine produce figs. This is impossible. A spring pours forth either fresh water or salt water. A tree produces what is proper to its nature to produce, not something else. Creation cannot be two different things at once. Neither can a person who is recreated by God serve him and curse others at the same time. A Christian shall use the tongue for what it was made, namely, to bless. History bears testimony to the destructive power of the tongue and also to the blessing power of the tongue. Through speech, many people became influential and ascended to the highest position in government. Some did great works by means of their convincing rhetoric. Others inflamed the anger of neighboring nations, provoked war, and destroyed thousands, if not millions, of innocent citizens. Through speech, justice and well-being has been achieved for the poor, the marginalized, the oppressed. Through speech, many people have been made victims of suffering, imprisonment, poverty, death. Through speech, people became friends, supported each other, and made life pleasant. Through speech, individuals and families have been torn apart, made enemies of each other, sometimes till the end of their lives. Through speech, God's word has been proclaimed to the nations. Millions and millions of hearts have been reached. Faith has been created, and salvation has been granted. Through speech, much false doctrine has been spread. People have been led astray from Christ, have been convinced to believe and hope in void promises. We need God's help to use our tongue and the gift of speech properly. Many blessings can be showered on people's lives, and many profitable results can be achieved through the tongue. James finishes the third chapter of his letter, writing in verses 13 to 18. Who is wise and understanding among you? By his good conduct let him show his works in the meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast and be false to the truth. This is not the wisdom that comes down from above, but is earthly, unspiritual, demonic. For where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there will be disorder and every vile practice. But the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, open to reason, full of mercy and good fruits, impartial and sincere. And the harvest of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. James speaks of two wisdoms, the wisdom of the world and the wisdom of God. The teachers mentioned in the beginning of chapter 3 of the letter claim to be wise and understanding. However, their conduct indicated the contrary. Good conduct, a God-pleasing conduct, is shown by what a person does, or, as James says, by his works in the meekness of wisdom. Meekness is the opposite of arrogance and self-promotion. The Greeks described meekness as power under control. In contrast to works in the meekness of wisdom stand bitter jealousy and selfish ambition. Originally, the Greek word for bitter was used of undrinkable water. When combined with jealousy, bitter defines a harsh, resentful attitude toward others. The Greek word for selfish ambition came to describe anyone who entered politics for selfish reasons and sought to achieve his agenda at any cost, even if it meant trampling on others. The sins of jealousy and selfish ambition destroy the life and community created by God. James remarks that no one shall boast in jealousy and selfish ambition, because in doing so a person denies his or her sinfulness and as a result denies God's word. Furthermore, James adds that this is not the wisdom that comes down from above, but is earthly, unspiritual, demonic. For where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there will be disorder and every vile practice. Indeed, this is not the wisdom that comes down from heaven. This is the wisdom proclaimed by the world. It is limited to earth. It is stained with the frailty of the corrupted human nature. It is generated by the forces of Satan. This worldly wisdom causes disorder and all kinds of evil practices. On the other hand, the wisdom from above is quite the opposite. It is from above because it is a gift from God that makes Christians alive in faith and guides them to live by God's word. The wisdom from above is first pure because Christ is pure. He purifies our hearts by the forgiveness of sins. From hearts purified by Christ flow good works. The wisdom from above makes Christians to promote peace. Jesus declares, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God." The wisdom from above is gentle. This means that a Christian is willing to submit to all kinds of mistreatment and difficulty with an attitude of kind, courteous, patient humility without any thought of hatred or revenge. The wisdom from above is open to reason, that is, humane, willing to learn from God's word. The wisdom from above is full of mercy and good fruits. A Christian shows concern for those who suffer pain and hardship. Support and help are given to those in need. The wisdom from above is impartial, that is, consistent, undivided in the commitment, and does not make unfair distinctions. The wisdom from above is sincere. James concludes his statements of the wisdom from above, saying, "And the harvest of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace." The wisdom from above produces all kinds of good works through the lives of Christians. Apart from peace, gentleness, humanness, mercy, good fruits, impartiality, sincerity, an immense harvest of righteousness is sown. A bounty of additional righteous actions are done by Christians to benefit others. God give us grace to make the best use of the tongue and to produce a harvest of righteous actions that flows from the wisdom from above. Thank you for reflecting with us in this study. Please join us again next time.
This study has been prepared and presented by Pastor Arno Bessel. He serves St. Peter's Lutheran Church in Plymouth, Devon. The congregation at St. Peter's is expecting to meet you and to share the good news of Christ with you. Divine services are held on Sunday at 11 a.m. and Bible studies on Wednesdays at 7 p.m. For more details, visit our website, stpeterslutherans.co.uk. You can also follow us on Facebook, St. Peter's Lutheran Church, Plymouth, England. For questions or comments about any issues raised in this program, write an email to info@lutheranradio.co.uk. Check our program online and stay tuned.